morning. It is good to be with you all again, and Happy New Year. It's good to see all of you here, all your smiling faces. Trust you had a good celebration with your family. But before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me briefly as we talk to the God of the Word again? Our Father in heaven, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for the Christmas and New Year celebrations we've enjoyed with our families. You've heard our voices as we worship you today, and now let us hear your voice from your word. Help us to see Jesus. For I ask this in Jesus' holy and matchless name. Amen. All right, let's start off with have a little fun this morning. You like to have fun in church? Is that okay? Can we have fun in church? Okay, well, let's pretend a minute. Instead of the three wise men in the Christmas story, what if there were three wise women? Did you ever think of that? What difference would it have made? I mean, think of the wise men. You know, what does a baby need? I'll just get them some gold and then they can buy what they want, right? But if there'd been three wise women, you know, this is adorable. I'll get it 3 to 6. He'll get lots of newborn stuff, you know. If there had been three wise women, they would have asked for directions sooner. They would have probably brought a casserole, right? And they would have brought diapers as a gift, not perfume. Hello? Am I right there? Okay. All right, now, you know, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't say how many wise men there were. Did you know that? It didn't say how many actually came. The ones that came could not have been the only ones to see the star, but they were the only ones that knew what it meant and did something about it. Think about that. You know, when you study godly Bible people, you discover they thought differently than other people. They had changed minds when it came to pursuing Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wonder, how can we see the world the way God sees the world? That's part of the renewing of our minds that we need to have happen after we come to Christ. Like the wise men, we need to change our mind. We need to have it renewed by God's word. So today, before we get too far from Christmas, I want to look back at the wise men. There's so much that we can learn from the actions and the journey of these wise men about, this is a news flash for some of you, it was about a year or so after the birth of Christ. Okay, I hate to be the bearer of news, but they didn't come to the manger. Okay, we've kind of put that together in the Christmas story, and it's very nice, but it was about a year or so after, if you look at the details in the story. The Bible says they came to a house, not a stable. That's just one of the many details. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever play hide-and-seek as a child? Did you ever do that as a child? Did you ever go on an Easter egg hunt? Some of you go on an Easter egg hunt as a child? Yes. What do all these things have in common? Something was hidden, and we had to what? Find it. We had to find it. In both cases, the key to winning was being a committed seeker. You agree with that? If you wanted to win, you had to be a committed seeker, okay? Has anyone ever won an Easter egg hunt or a hide-and-seek game by just sitting on the porch? No, that doesn't happen, okay? Why? You have to go out and look, right? You have to go look if you're going to win or if you're going to find those eggs. Why? Because you must become a seeker to become a finder. Does that make sense to you? Okay. If you don't get anything else today, remember that, okay? You have to become a seeker to become a finder. There's something children say when they find something and they want to keep it for themselves. Do you remember what it was? That's right. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Well, today I want to change one word in that phrase to help us understand where we're heading, and that's this. Finders, seekers. Losers, weepers. If you're going to find something, you have to be a seeker. You have to be a seeker. And today, I want us to see that there are two kinds of people in the Christmas story. And everyone in this room falls into one of these two categories. You're either a seeker or you're a sitter. A seeker or a sitter. Which one you are determines where you will go in life. So let's take our Bibles. I hope you brought yours with you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we find the story of King Herod and the wise men. Familiar to some of us if you grew up in church, but I want to look at it again with you. There's some interesting things here that will help us. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. I'm using the New International Version. It's all up on the screen. The Bible says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, notice the title, that's not his last name, the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. This is the word of God for his people today. Now let me ask you to think about this. Which one would you have been more like? Herod, the wise men. I want you to think about that. Which kind of person are you? There's two kinds of people in the Christmas story. There are seekers and there are sitters. Seekers ask questions. Sitters have the answers. Seekers initiate. They move. Sitters wait. Seekers have a goal. Sitters don't have any goals. Seekers are filled with desire. Sitters are filled with daydreams. Seekers overcome problems. Sitters are overcome by problems. Seekers win more than they lose. And of course, sitters lose more than they win. So remember, you must be a seeker to become a finder, okay? The wise men show us two beliefs that we need to change our mind about, okay? Two beliefs we need to change our mind about today. The first belief you need to change your mind about is that to find, you must seek. To find, you must seek. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. What's the next word? Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that. Now, unfortunately, people make excuses. Some think that finding Christ, finding salvation in Christ happens because of good timing. Okay? Good timing. They think timing is. Now, I think that timing is important, but if we're not careful, we end up assigning our failures and other people's successes to nothing more than good or bad timing. Is it due to that? No, it is not due to that. Timing has little influence on whether you're a finder or a failure. The Bible says in Matthew 2, verse 1, the King James says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem. Notice it says, in the days of Herod the king. The New International Version says, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east. Notice by this phrase, during the time, are both the Magi or the wise men and King Herod. Okay? They both live in the same time. And they both had the same opportunities. Okay? Do you see that? It's not that one was given a special time and the other ones weren't. It was a matter of discerning the times that they lived in and doing something about it by seeking Jesus. While he still could be found. The other one just remained seated. The wise men did something about the time they lived in. King Herod did not. Author John Maxwell writes this. He says, in every age, there comes a time when a leader must come forward to meet the needs of the hour. Tragically, there are times when a leader does not rise to the hour, and Herod was one of those of the latter kind. The bottom line is not a timing problem. It's about discerning the times we have. You need to know when to seize the day, in other words. Listen, folks, it's very human of us to just let time pass by, isn't it? The problem with life, James Dobson says, is that it's so daily. So daily, right? We just let the time pass by. Our enemy fools us into thinking that life is just a dress rehearsal, to think that somehow we get to go through life and then go back and redo it. Folks, you only get one performance in life. It's not a dress rehearsal. This isn't a practice life, okay? It's the only one we got. We need to quit waiting for a New Year's Day to make changes and resolutions that we've broken over and over. Act now. Eat right. Phone call that you need to make it. If you should be giving somebody a gift, give it. Write a thank you card, write it. Need to give an apology, do it now. Don't miss the timing. What does the proverb say? There's no time like the present. There are people you know who have heard the gospel over and over and not responded. Do you know that? And yet there are people who come and hear it the first time and come running to Jesus. What makes the difference? One is a seeker. The other is a sitter. Let me just say this, friends. If you haven't responded to the good news about Christ, that he came to earth to die for your sin and rose to give you new life, why not? There's no time like the present. You say, well, I have questions, Pastor. That's good. Let's get together. The Bible has answers. Let me know. I love the fact that brethren are always willing to sit down and open the Bible and say, let's look at what it says. Here in the story are both Herod and the wise men. They could both go to see Jesus. But one doesn't, and the others do. What's the difference? One thing that didn't make a difference was the timing. Okay? It wasn't the timing. You know, another excuse that people make for not finding Jesus is position. Position. Listen to me, folks. Position has little influence on whether you're a seeker or a sitter. When you think about it, Herod was the one in the ideal position to go and find Jesus. The seekers here, the wise men, were probably from Persia, which we call Iran today. They traveled hundreds of miles to see Jesus, while the sitter Herod was only 6 miles away from Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Okay, that's the same as if Jesus was born down the road in Manita and the wise men came by foot from Washington, D.C. and beat us there. Okay, that's the same thing. Folks, let me tell you something about me. When you look at me, you're looking at a churchgoer, okay? Churchgoer, that's me. I was raised in the church, been in church all my life. I don't think I ever missed more than 2 Sundays in a row. And I don't tell you that to brag. I tell you that to tell you the culture that I was raised in. I've known people who grew up in the church like me, and they have less desire to pursue the things of the Lord and Jesus than someone who just walked in the first time. And that's sad. That's so sad. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. It's not enough to be in the right place at the right time. You must know that you're there. And you must respond to that knowledge with some kind of action. You need to do something. Sadly, people like that are in short supply. Churches are full of people who are just sitting back waiting for revival to come. Sitting back waiting for the harvest to come in. Sitting back waiting for maturity in life. Sitting back waiting for someone else to apologize to them. Folks, you can't be a sitter and receive a blessing from the Lord. You need to be a seeker. You need to be a seeker. You know, it's common to hear someone sigh and say, well, you know, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Folks, it's not your position and it's not your timing. It's whether or not you're a seeker. Do you see it? It's whether or not you're a seeker. Another excuse people make for finding Jesus has to do with knowledge. Okay? It has to do with knowledge. They say, I didn't know enough. Listen, knowledge has very small influence on whether you're a seeker or a sitter. If we're not careful, you'll miss this in the story. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, they didn't know where Jesus was to be born. But Herod and his council knew. They knew where he was to be born. They knew the prophecy in the scriptures. They knew the place and the location. Herod knew the place, but he missed the person. He missed the person of Christ. Therefore, it's not a knowledge issue. The ones with the most knowledge in the story were the sitters and not the seekers. The bottom line is this. The wise men were in the same place and the same time as King Herod. Herod knew more than they knew, but he still didn't become a seeker. It's not just what you know. Remember, you need to be a what? Seeker if you're going to be a finder. I wonder what excuses maybe you've made for not being a seeker. One thing that baffles me as a pastor is that people who have been Christians the longest sometimes, the ones that have the most knowledge of the scriptures, who have been in the church the longest are often, I'm not saying every time, but are sometimes the saddest and the angriest people in the church. Sometimes they're the least committed of any of those around. Why is that? Why is that? Some people with the most knowledge about the things of God are as dry as last year's bird's nests. You don't want to be around them. Why is that? Now, I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying some. Is that you? It shows itself in a lack of worship, a lack of willingness to serve, to follow God's leading, or to try something new, a lack of passion when it comes to worship. What does that tell you? It tells you knowledge is not the key to finding the presence of God. A seeking heart is. Folks, you can read every Christian book in the market and digest all the information and fail to understand that information is not the same thing as inspiration. Maybe you know people who have all the answers, but none of the joy that those answers are supposed to bring. Yet you find others in church who are just getting started, but they can't find Genesis or Revelation in their Bible, but they're so happy and joyful in the Lord as compared to the dead legalism of others who are filled with knowledge of the Word, but don't have the inspiration of the Word. Listen to me. Finding Jesus is not about knowledge. It's not about position. It's not about timing. It's about seeking Him. So the first thing to change your mind about is your excuses. Stop making excuses. The second thing you need to change your mind about is this. You and me, we need to become seekers. Not just talk about it. We need to become seekers. Why? Because there's some important differences between seekers and sitters. Seekers ask questions while sitters have answers. In Matthew 2, 1 and 2, the questions led the seekers to the Savior. Seekers are looking for an open to correction with what they find, aren't they? They're not like, I don't have all the answers. It's like, tell me. Okay, I'm willing to change my mind. Just show me the truth. Sitters have quick, fast answers based upon the past, but they don't change the present. Seekers move, sitters wait. Listen to what the wise men were told. Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. Great advice from the sitter, Herod, right? But then Herod reveals his character flaw. As soon as you find him, let me know. Basically, you know, I'm not going to inconvenience myself by going and looking for this baby king. But if you find him, I should know, well, then tell me. Folks, this is a decision everyone has to make in life. Always have others telling you about the great things in life, or to search them out for yourself and have the thrill of discovery. There's a lesson here. News is not as good with age on it, okay? It's called news because it's new, right? For the wise men, they went and got the news, didn't they? Herod missed the best God had for him because he wanted others to seek what he needed and then come back and tell him about it. That's called spiritual laziness. So seekers ask questions while sitters have answers. Seekers move while sitters wait. There's another difference. Seekers discover while sitters worry. Seekers discover while sitters worry. Listen to the sitter, Matthew 2, verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Troubled in the original Greek that the New Testament was written in means restless or agitated. Okay? They were upset about this. Why? There was no baby born in the palace, and here these wise men were coming saying there's a king born. They were really upset, okay? But listen to the seekers. Verse 9 of Matthew 2. The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I want you to notice what a difference the attitudes here about the journey to find Jesus, okay? Have you ever heard of the law of opportunity? This is interesting. The law of opportunities. Opportunities increase or decrease according to how you handled the last one. Question, have you ever seen someone who has doors wide open for them everywhere they go in life? You know, others always see doors shut in their face and end up on dead end streets. What's the difference? The law of opportunity. If you take advantage of one, God often opens another one for you. But if you sit, they'll pass you by. I want you to notice their joy level increased with their pursuit. The Bible says when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. In the Greek, the word is mega. They had mega joy. Okay, it was all over the place. What's the lesson here? As long as they kept seeking Jesus, their joy increased. The star in front of them was that God-inspired goal in their lives that kept them moving forward and not despising the journey or being discouraged by it. Folks, what every church needs is seekers who are not motivated by their influence, their personality, or their accomplishments, but are motivated by the fact that Jesus is in front of us for us to see, leading us from one step to the next. It doesn't always happen to Christians in churches. Max Lucado, an author, once said this. He said, pilgrims with no vision of a promised land become proprietors of their own land. They set up camp, they exchange hiking boots for loafers, trade in their staff for a new recliner. Instead of looking upward at him, they look inward at themselves and outward at each other. The results? Cabin fever, quarreling families, restless leaders, fence building, staked off territory, and no trespassing signs are hung. Spats turning into fights, turn to glare at each other's weaknesses rather than celebrate their common strength. Folks, remember, we are what we see. What has your eyes has your heart. If we stop seeking Jesus, we turn inward and infighting begins. We need to all be seekers every day. If we see only ourselves, we'll never accomplish God's purpose for our lives. And that's why God came near, to be seen, to be seen. And those who saw him were never the same again. So let's review here, okay? Seekers ask questions while sitters have answers. Seekers move while sitters wait. Seekers discover while sitters worry. Folks, listen. Seekers find what they're searching for, while sitters miss out on the best, and they wonder why. Look at Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Five words jump out at me from this verse, and I encourage you, if you're underlined, or underline them. Here they are. They saw Jesus, okay? They fell down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just imagine the joy they felt. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. When God said we would see him if we seek him, he was saying that we only see what we're prepared to see. We only see what we're prepared to see. Ever notice that two people can walk through the same store and see totally different things? Ever notice that? Why? Because they saw what they were prepared to see. We see what we're looking for. Let me illustrate. Think of the color red. Okay, look at red. Think of red. Okay? Now look around and see how much red you see that you didn't see before. Some up here, some up there. I think I'm wearing a tie with red in it. Okay? You don't think about it. You don't see it if you're not thinking about it. Why? Why do you see it? Because your mind just gets focused on red fire extinguisher over there. Did you see that before? Folks, listen to me. Worship is about getting focused on God as he really is. Celebrating our forgiveness and then hearing from him what he wants us to do. And that's why it's possible for two people to attend the same church on the same Sunday and leave with one saying, wow, God was really in this place today. And the other one walks out and says, you know, I couldn't even find a bulletin today. Same surroundings, same building, same people. What's the difference? The difference is what they were looking for. And it was the same with the wise men and Herod. Same surroundings, same time, but the difference is simple. The wise men wanted to find Jesus. They wanted to find Jesus. God knew their hearts, and he allowed them to find him. Why? Because they were sinners. Remember, you must be a seeker to become a finder. So when it comes to Jesus, there's two kinds of people in this world in the church. Seekers and sinners. If you would find the Savior and serve him with your life, you need to be a seeker. Which one are you? I encourage you for 2019, forget the past. Start with today and be a seeker of the Savior every day of the rest of your life. Maybe you'd say, well, Brother Becker, I'm here without Christ. I'm not following Jesus. Learn from the wise men. Learn from the wise men. Begin your seeking by pursuing Jesus, and don't stop till you find him. The Bible says this. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the evil man his thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You notice it says to turn, to forsake our sin. If you'll do that, and talk to God in your heart, Father, please accept and adopt me, not for what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. If you will do that, the Bible says, you become a child of God that very day. Maybe you're here and you'd say, well, Brother Becker, I was a seeker once, but then I stumbled and fell away. Let me tell you something. God loves you. He always has. He always will. He's waiting to welcome you back as a loving Heavenly Father. He wants to forgive you. He sees all you've done, but he's not waiting to rub it in. He's waiting to rub it out to forgive you. I encourage you to seek God again and find peace for your soul. What about this church? Will we pursue and seek God and his favor this year and his blessing? If so, it must be the pursuit of more of his presence, reaping his harvest, and releasing more of his power in our lives. The church is not man's work. It is God's work through us. The bottom line, seeking or sitting remains your choice. Which one will you choose? God says you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How much do you want to find God? Will you be a seeker or a sitter? Let me close with the words of Jesus. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Remember, finders, seekers, losers, weepers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please show me and teach each one here what we need to do to change, to move from being a sitter to becoming a seeker of Jesus every day. Forgive us for taking the easy way of being a sitter. Forgive us for playing religious games while the world around us suffers without a Savior. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us see Jesus and truly worship him. For we pray in the matchless name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Now go out and do great things in Jesus' name.